Another very important parameter in case of human development index is about the housing. Housing itself defines the welfare and well-being of any human being in a particular society. When we talk about the basic necessities, housing is a very essential component of human well-being. Here, as per the data what we have of 2011 census, only 46% of the rural houses were in good conditions against 69% in their urban counterparts. In terms of material used, only 18% of the rural houses had concrete slab or roof, whereas other houses has grass, thatch, bamboo, wood, mud, even handmade tiles. This itself defines the difference between the urban and the rural areas. In terms of materials used for the construction of walls, only about 54% of rural houses were made of durable materials like burnt brick or concrete walls, whereas other walls were made of mud or unburnt brick or grass or even thatched and bamboo, etc. So Government of India, they launched a very important scheme which is known as the Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana Grameen. This is a social welfare flagship program which is created by Indian government to provide housing for the rural poor masses of India. With this program, they have a target to achieve more than 2.95 crore houses in pakka houses in the rural areas by 2022. Under the PMJAY scheme, finance assistance worth 1 lakh 20,000 crore in plain areas and 1 lakh 30,000 crore in difficult areas such as highland areas or deserts is provided for construction of houses. These houses are equipped with facilities such as toilet, LPG connection, electricity connection and drinking water, convergence with other schemes such as Swachh Bharat Abhiyan toilets and Ujwala Yojana LPG gas connection, Sauvagya Yojana electricity connection, etc. The houses are allotted in the name of the women or joint between the husband and the wife. The construction of the houses is the sole responsibility of the beneficiary and engagement of contractor is strictly prohibited. Sanitary latrine and smokeless chula are required to be constructed along with each house. In addition to central government, all major states have been providing assistance for constructing rural houses with various schemes and programs of their own, which is being financed by the state government itself. When we talk about the National Housing Bank, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of RBI, it provides the refinance to the lending institutions such as commercial banks, housing financed development banks or institutions, and cooperative institutions at the rural level. The Golden Jubilee Rural Housing Finance Scheme was launched by National Housing Bank. The Rural Housing Fund, which is known as RHF, was formulated by National Housing Bank for lending towards rural housing undertaken by people falling under weaker sections. Productive housing in rural area, known as FIRA, is a scheme which was launched by National Housing Bank and that extends the refinance for a composite loan of housing and income generation with an objective to facilitate the construction of houses for rural people, and it also provides a source of sustainable income throughout their life. When we are going to talk about the housing, we cannot ignore the role of NABARD. NABARD has a rural housing scheme. So NABARD has included the rural housing as an eligible activity for providing refinance to the eligible banks. Under this scheme, the refinance to a maximum amount of rupees 20 lakh for the construction of a new house and rupees 1 lakh for the repair or renovation of a house for the maximum period of 10 years or 7 years is done. when we are talking about housing, it is also very essential to keep our eyes open on the different challenges that we face, particularly when it comes to the rural India. So we have rural India, which has faced with a lot of challenges when it comes to housing, and some of these challenges are the land scarcity, the financial constraints, because they are not always with handful of money which they can invest right at the moment. There is also a material constraint, and there are non-availability of skilled manpower or artisans to construct a house. And there are also lack of training facilities to upgrade the skills. So after housing, we have to talk about another very essential part of a social well-being. That is about the drinking water and sanitation. We all know that life cannot exist without having proper access to the potable water. Access to safe drinking water is a basic necessary step towards healthy human development. Constitutionally, the primary responsibility of providing safe drinking water and sanitation is the state's priority and responsibility. However, with 73rd and 74th Amendment of our Constitution, drinking water and sanitation are included in the list of subjects to be developed under the panchayats. In spite of significant progress witnessed in various social sectors under various schemes, access to safe drinking water is lagging behind in the rural areas. The figures are quite startling and very alarming, because as per the census of 2011, we have only 31% of the rural household which had access to potable tap water, as against 71% of the urban population which has access to potable water. Moreover, only 18% of the rural households had access to treated tap water. So if we see, it is sometimes very empathetic, we have to see that few villages which provide the source of drinking water to their neighboring metros and other cities do not have access to potable water themselves. The major source, if we talk about the drinking water, the hand pumps were the major source of drinking water in rural areas, which account to more than 43% of drinking water. And the share of tap water in rural area is just about 30.8%. Wells were the third major source of drinking water in rural areas, and they contribute only about 13% of drinking water. When we talk about sanitation, sanitation is a prerequisite for healthy human development, as a number of diseases are associated with lack of proper sanitation in the rural areas. Lack of sanitation directly leads to a number of waterborne and foodborne diseases through contamination, and the spread at a very rapid rate, and sometimes it's beyond the control, where actually they cause some case of epidemic. As per the census 2011 data, it shows only 25% of the rural households had bathroom facility, and only 5% of the household had closed drainage facilities. The rural households with no drainage facility accounted for 63% of the total households. Rural household with no latrine facility accounted for about 67.3% of the total households in rural areas. However, the proportion of households having improved latrine facility with proper disposal system of solid waste management was only 19%. So government thought of and they focused on lot of schemes where they actually can work upon for the proper sanitation facility in rural areas. So they came up with few of the schemes, and one of the scheme targeting the drinking water and sanitation is about rural water supply. The Department of Drinking Water and Sanitation provides the technical and financial assistance to all the states to provide safe and adequate drinking water in rural India. The department's centrally sponsored scheme, the National Rural Drinking Water Program, which is also known as NRDWP, this program currently focuses on providing access to drinking water throughout India in all the rural areas. When it comes to sanitation, to accelerate the efforts to to achieve universal sanitation coverage in a time-bound manner in mission mode, the government launched the Swachh Bharat mission with the goal of achieving an open defecation-free India, also known as ODF. The Department of Drinking Water and Sanitation, it manages the rural component of the mission, Swachh Bharat Mission Grameen, and is the coordinating department of overall SBM. Since the launch of the Swachh Bharat Mission, India's rural sanitation coverage has increased from a mere 39% in the year 2014 to over 99% by the June of 2019, which is a very rapid growth. And the mission is on track to achieve a goal of ODF India. Going forward, the Swachh Bharat Mission will focus on moving from ODF to ODF Plus through a focus on ODF sustainability and solid liquid waste management under four major verticals: grey water management, plastic waste management, biodegradable solid waste management, and fecal sludge management. So friends, now we are going to talk about another element which is also very crucial in the overall Human Development Index. That is about the social security. When we talk about social security, minimum standards of social security were established and agreed upon worldwide based on the basic principles established by the Social Security Convention held in the year 1952, which covers the various different parameters like medical care, sickness benefit, age-old benefit, the employment injury benefit, the family benefit, maternity benefit, the invalidity benefit, and the survivor's benefit. The National Social Assistance Program, it consists of five sub-schemes: the Indira Gandhi National Open Age Pension Scheme, Indira Gandhi National Widow Pension Scheme, and Indira Gandhi Disability Pension Scheme, as well as the National Family Benefit Scheme and Annapurna Scheme. The National Rural Employment Guarantee Act, which came upon in 2005, it was later named as Mahatma Gandhi National Rural Employment Guarantee Act, or popularly called as Mahatma Gandhi NREGA. It is an Indian labor law and social security measure that aims to guarantee the right to work. This act, it provides about at least 100 days of man wages in a rural area to unskilled workers. That is what it guarantee for anybody who is volunteering for unskilled labor in rural areas. The next program that we are going to talk about is the Rashtriya Swasthya Bima Yojana. It is also known as the National Health Insurance Program. This is a government run health insurance program for the Indian poor. This scheme aims to provide health insurance coverage to the unrecognized sector workers belonging to the BPL category and their family members who shall be the beneficiaries under this scheme. This scheme provides access of insurance to those unskilled workers or the particular people like housemaids and other people who work in an unskilled labor profession in rural areas. More than 36 million families are enrolled by this program from 2014 onwards. Now we talk about the Aam Aadmi Bima Yojana. This is under the Ministry of Finance, Government of India, which approved the merger of social security schemes, namely the Aam Aadmi Bima Yojana and Janasri Bima Yojana. The merged scheme is renamed as Aam Aadmi Bima Yojana. Then comes the Pradhan Mantri Suraksha Bima Yojana. It is a government-backed accident insurance scheme in India. Pradhan Mantri Suraksha Bima Yojana is available to people between the age group of 18 to 70 years of age with a bank account. It has an annual premium of just a mere 12 rupees, which is exclusive of taxes. In case of accidental death or full disability, the payment to the nominee will be rupees 2 lakhs, and in case of partial or permanent disability, it will be 1 lakh. Then comes the Pradhan Mantri Jeevan Jyoti Bima Yojana. It is a government-backed life insurance scheme in India. The Pradhan Mantri Jeevan Jyoti Bima Yojana is available to people between the age group of 18 and 50 years of age with bank accounts. It has an annual premium of just rupees 330 rupees. In case of death to any cause, the payment of the insurance to the nominee will be rupees 2 lakh. Now we talk about a very popular Yojana, that was the Atal Pension Yojana. It is a guaranteed pension scheme and is administered by the Pension Fund Regulatory and Development Authority. This Atal Pension Yojana, it features are guaranteed monthly pension for subscribers, and the pension amount will range from 1000 to 5000 per month depending upon how much premium they are paying. Atal Pension Yojana is a Government of India program where actually it also contribute either 50% of the subscriber's contribution or rupees 1000 per annum, whichever is lower. The government co-contribution is available for those who are not covered by any statutory social security schemes and is not an income taxpayer. For a pension of rupees 3000, the amount required as contribution ranges between rupees 126 and rupees 873 per month. This will depend always upon at what age they are being enrolled for this program. At the age of 60, you will be entitled to a monthly fixed pension of rupees 3000. In case of your death, your nominee will receive up to 5.1 lakh. Then comes the Pradhan Mantri Kisan Man Dhan Yojana. Under this Pradhan Mantri Kisan Man Dhan Yojana, the farmers between the age group of 18 and 40, they can enroll, and depending upon their age, the contribution will vary. They will get up to 3000 rupees pension after 60 years of attaining age. All small and marginal farmers who are currently between the age of 18 and 40 years can apply for the scheme and can enroll into it. So now friends, we are going to talk about a very important body which was formed on the 2nd of October during the Gandhi Jayanti in the year 1958. This was NAFED. So NAFED is known as National Agricultural Cooperative Marketing Federation of India, and this was set up with the objective to co-promote operative marketing of agricultural produce as well as forest resources for the benefit of farmers. The objectives of NAFED were very clear. It had an objective to organize, promote and develop the marketing, processing and storage of agricultural, horticultural or forest produce. It also has an objective of distribution of agricultural machinery, implements and various other inputs required in the farming business. Undertake the interstate import and export trade, wholesale or retail as the case may be, and to act and assist for technical advice in agricultural production, for the promotion and working of its members, partners, associates and cooperative marketing, processing and supply societies in India. So friends, while concluding this chapter, let me just again summarize what all things we have gone through. So this chapter, we started with the Human Development Index. Human Development Index, it very well defined how we define the index in terms of various parameters, for example, like life expectancy or the longevity criteria. The education parameter, which ultimately leads to the knowledge aspect of it, and then we talked about the health and other parameters which actually collate for the Human Development Index. We also then went deeper into this each of these topics, and we talked about the level of literacy in India, the urban rural divide, the male female divide in terms of literacy, and at what stage or various levels our different states are under this literacy parameters. Then also we talked about the housing, the drinking water or potable water and sanitation aspect of it, and then finally we talked about the social security part, where we went through different schemes launched by the Government of India, both for insurance as well as the health aspect, where it is aiming to protect all the rural masses. Then finally, we ended this chapter after talking about the support that we get from NAFED. And NAFED, one more thing we can talk about is, like, NAFED recently in the year 2008, they launched the spot market index. So with this, I would like to conclude this chapter. Thank you very much.